Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Killett, your host. I actually don't know who's responsible for today's show, whether it was Edgar or Darren who did it, but it's so good. It doesn't even seem right that we're starting off the week this good. Second hour, Dr. Greg Popchak will be here with us, and we're going to talk about healing broken relationships. He's just so good at that. And so hang on for that second hour. This hour, one of our favorite people in the world, and I do not know what we have done wrong, but we have neglected Dr. Stacey Drasankos, probably because she's become super popular all around the world. But she's a scientist, a theologian, a philosopher, mother of seven, and today we'll do faith and science with Dr. Stacey Drasankos. If you're new to the show, or you know you haven't heard these Dr. Stacey hours, call, ask your questions about faith and science. This is a great opportunity for you to get to somebody who started out. I mean, she started out as a baby, but after that, she went and got a PhD in chemistry from Penn State, became a DuPont research chemist. She converted to Catholicism, and now she's just one of the church's most compelling voices on faith and science, and that is our topic today, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. I've missed you, Dr. Stacey Drasankos. I'm glad you're back.
Thank you, Cy. I've missed you, too. It's been a while. It's good to be back.
Do you prefer flying to Ireland to do your PhD work, or going to Budapest to do your Father Yaki work, or coming on with us on the air?
Let's see.
Close, huh?
Coming on the air with you. Coming on, because
I'm sure that's the case.
Always Catholic answers. Always.
Well, it's the right answer. I don't know if it's a truthful answer, but it's the right answer.
It is.
888-318-7884. As long as I've known you, I've known one thing about you. You love atoms. I guess that's, in both as a scientist and as a Catholic, like you love atoms because that's what a chemist studies. And then you seem to just love them as a kind of, as the basic building block of the handiwork of God. And now you're mad at atoms. Why are you mad at atoms?
It's a long relationship. I love Adam still, but thank you for knowing this about me, that I love atoms. Like, I've always been fascinated at how atoms make up the world, but I studied theology and now I'm studying philosophy because I've been on this lifelong quest to understand what screwed my head up so bad when I was a young adult.
Yeah.
As a scientist, like, why did I get so off track with where I'm going in life? And I really think it had a lot to do with this idea that atoms make up everything. There's a joke that chemistry students always tell: why can't you trust atoms? And the punchline is, because they make up.
Because they go ahead.
because
they make up everything. Oh, yes. I should have known that. Okay. Yes.
But it's supposed to be a play on this fundamental truth that everybody knows. But the thing I've been learning with Thomistic philosophy and matter and form and final causality is they don't make up everything, that they are disposed to the form, that it's a top-down view of nature, starting with God creating and giving things existence and matter being subsumed into higher and higher substances. And so this bottom-up view that atoms make up everything, that was what messed my head up, because that was what led me to conclude there is no God. And that's what led me to conclude nothing matters. There's no morality. There's nothing, you know, just have fun in your life. And that's what really got me off track. And I think the way we teach students, even in Catholic schools, that atoms make up everything, that's never really been corrected. And so I'm on this new mission now to write that the way that chemistry is taught, because I love atoms so much. But you can't trust them to make up everything.
Yeah. Okay. So you start studying philosophy, and philosophers I mean, I don't think you can overcome or go. I think, in other words, Aristotle is basically right in the causes.
Yeah.
I'm not a good philosopher. I can never remember what the four causes are. But you're talking about final cause if you think the world is just a random kind of there's the atoms and then they snap together in all these different ways and that's what makes the universe. Then you miss the final cause of the universe.
Yes, there is the four causes. And by the way, I hate philosophy. I'm working on a doctorate in it because I hate.
Have you
it
told
that
your
much.
Professors this? Because that's not going to go over
yes,
big.
Yes, I have.
Oh yeah. Okay.
I have because it's hard coming from a chemistry brain to theology and then philosophy. It's like
right.
punishment. But the four causes. There's material, efficient, formal, and final. And what modern science did away with was the formal and final. There's no form that directs the matter and governs the matter. And there's no final causality. Like there's no telos, there's no purpose for things. And all that modern science really deals with is the material cause, what makes up things, and the efficient cause, what moves them around. And, and a lot of philosophers have written about that they've taken formal and final causality out. And what I'm adding to that now as a philosopher is I'm putting on my chemistry hat too, and I'm rewriting chemistry per the textbook with this other view, with this view of a top down. And you know, there's no escaping that God exists when you have this other view. And I know that. So that's going to be an interesting discussion because I'm not trying to hide behind the fact that I believe God exists. And I know that from reason and from divine revelation and faith. But it's going to make a lot more sense out of chemistry. And without getting into the details, there's a lot of problems in chemistry research today, precisely because they're unwilling to admit formal and final causality. So they've got themselves stuck.
One suspected that would happen at some point. That if you refuse to ask certain questions or you say this way of thinking about reality or investigating reality is out of bounds, we're only going to limit us, and I didn't know this, but to the first two of the four causes for everything, mm-hmm. then eventually you'll get to a place where it's going to not work anymore. You're going to just bump up against things that can't work.
Yep. And that's the problem they're having. Like, we're made of atoms. That's what I kept saying. God made atoms and we're made of atoms. And it's so cool. But in modern science, they have a real hard problem getting from chemistry to biology to, you know, that dog standing in front of you. Like they have a real hard time. They want to say everything's reducible to atoms. And you can't really explain very much that way. So
no,
I'm really excited about this project. I my professor said, you sound like you're on a vendetta. And I'm like, well, I kind of am. But I'm older and I've raised my kids and I'm doing this because I genuinely care about atoms and chemistry and the faith so much. So I can be on a vendetta and go work on a second doctorate in philosophy because I want to change the way chemistry is taught. You know, like that's a fine way to finish out my life.
Well, I'm sorry we've come to the end of your life in the first 10 minutes of the show, but okay.
I'm getting old.
That's not true. 888-318-7884. Look, any questions having to do with faith and science there, we have what we now kind of refer to as the mistake of the opposition, you know, people thinking that faith and science are in opposition to one another or that there's some kind of disconnect between the two. If maybe you still hold to that theory. I was just reading an article today in one of the British newspapers. I can't remember. And it said, why are people still holding on to these superstitions about God when we have science and we don't need it anymore? I think, boy, that person needs to talk to Dr. Stacy. Well, you're welcome to talk to her. 888-318-7884. We'll take a quick break. Dr. Stacy Trusenko's is our guest. Faith and Science on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live.
Alexian Brothers is a proud sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. For 800 years, these Catholic brothers have offered a prophetic and daring response to the gospel, serving Christ in the sick, the poor, and the dying. Is God calling you to be a courageous disciple? If you feel called to total self-giving as a religious brother in the mission of Jesus, call our vocations office at 847-264-8703. That's 847-264-8703. AlexianBrothers.org.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Magnificat. Published monthly, Magnificat features texts of daily Mass, prayers, articles, meditations, art commentaries, and more, in step with the liturgical rhythm of the Church, on the web at magnificat.com.
EWTN, communicating the faith.
First of all, I love your show. That's all I listen to in the car. And I have had so many answers to prayer.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I love all of your programs. I listen to EWTN all the time in the car, nothing else.
I think we're just so blessed to have your words and your prayers. And I just can't tell you what it means because you helped me get through a lot.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Oh, I'm so happy to have Dr. Stacy Trisankos with us again. Three lines are open out of the six. So if you have questions about science and faith and how they intersect, and maybe there's something that in science that makes you suspicious of your faith, or something in your faith that makes you suspicious of science, or maybe you're just curious about a particular question, whatever it is, Dr. Stacy Trisankos, I used to say scientist and theologian, but you'll notice I opened the show scientist, theologian, and philosopher. Because she did them in the wrong order. You're supposed to do philosophy and then theology, but she did her theology degree, and now she's working on her philosophy degree. You can call 888-318-7884. Ken's in Champaign, Illinois, listening on the Spirit Catholic Radio Network. Awful glad you're here, Ken. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Stacy Trisankos.
Yes, I wanted to ask you about the emergence of modern science, just as a background. I studied the history of science for about 20 years, and it seems to me that when you mentioned about them, about early modern science eliminating formal and final cause, it seems to me that what happened in modern science was that they substituted mathematics as the formal cause and the only formal cause that could explain things. And Galileo talks about this in one of his writings about God making the universe according to, you know, triangles and squares and circles and so forth. So it seems to me then that this also explains the almost obsession with using mathematics to explain everything in the physical world. Mm-hmm. Is that true, you think?
Yes. No, I mean, that's brilliant what you just said. And I mean, I can tell that you studied the history of science because I've read many things along those lines as well. And it's not something that I hear a lot of people talk about. But you're right. The trajectory was kind of, and I'm sure you already know this. I'm just covering it for the listeners. The trajectory was there was this return to atomism per Democritus. So after the Renaissance, Democritus became very popular, and Newton and Descartes, they all had this idea about, and there was much debated idea about atoms. So it was very material. And then, like you're saying, after this mechanistic view of the universe and all matter didn't work, it swung to mathematics. And so where atoms took the place of matter, mathematics took the place of form. It almost went from Democritus and the materialist to Platonist. It went to Platonism with the mathematics. And what really, it's like a repeat of history, right? What's really true is something in the middle, which is more Aristotelian in nature. And then I had to go through this, why not not Aristotle, why Aquinas? Aquinas built on so many things that Aristotle said and clarified about form and matter and essence and existence. And so really, I think this, it's just the stage out there is just primed and ready to hear how well Thomism makes sense of modern science, because it balances out matter and form. It uses both for the essence.
Yeah, thank you very much. If I do I have an opportunity to ask a
question? Go ahead, Ken. Yeah, yes, please do. Please do.
Well, one of the things I've never been able to understand is how a materialistic person in science, or whether or not, but a materialistic thinking person can explain, for example, that most of the things in our bodies are the same as they are in a chimpanzee. But that's the material cause. But the form is completely, well, it's very different, especially when it comes to the brain, that in higher rational thought, chimpanzees simply don't have that. And how do they explain that without invoking some top-down formal cause, which would say, there's a form for chimpanzees and there's a form for humans. And even though they have largely the same material, they are, they're different forms.
They can't. And when I said in the beginning that modern science is running into all kinds of walls because of their materialist thinking, that's one of them. That's one wall they're running into. They can't explain the difference. And you ask, how does a materialist thinking person account for that? I lived that dissonance in my own life. I held my own newborn babies and looked at them and thought, it's just a bag of atoms. Why do I love it so much? You know, like it, I had to confront that. And that was one of the things that honestly led me to the faith, but it has taken me 20 years to get my head around how significant the philosophy is here. So thank you for what you're saying, and thank you for the problems that you're pointing out. I'm sure God will put someone in your path that needs to hear that, because it's a very important message today.
Thank you, Ken. I have to say, some of what you and Ken discuss goes over my head, but or maybe I have to just think about it for a while to, because it's outside of my usual pattern of thinking. But it does seem to me that you see these scientists, and some of them are on TV, and some of them do popular writing, that really are genuinely marveling at the universe and its coherence, and that it's undergirded by mathematics, but don't seem to go to the next question, why, and seem almost allergic to it. They seem determined that why question of why is it there? Why does this work? Why does it make sense? Why is mathematics the language of the universe in a certain sense? Like, why should the universe have a language at all? Like, what do you make of that reluctance among scientists, especially kind of the popular, I don't mean everyday scientists, but I mean the popularizers of science, to take the step that wonder wants to take, which is why? Why is it like this? Why is it so beautiful?
That's what got me. I said my commitment to, once I learned it was materialism, I didn't know the word for it. I said, you know what? It's keeping me from asking the biggest why of all. And to be honest, I've talked about this in my own conversion, and I've written a new book chapter for Ignatius Press, and a book that's coming out that where I get into this. I was afraid to ask that biggest why of all, because as a scientist, I felt like I had a very privileged insight into the order in the universe.
Uh-huh.
I mean, atoms. I knew how they were. I felt like I had a very privileged insight, and it was like the elephant in the laboratory that I just wasn't admitting that God exists. And when I faced up to that question, it was fear of admitting it, because God, to a scientist who created all of that, it's a really scary thing to admit there is a being that did all this. It was almost like too much, too close. Mm-hmm. But I remember thinking that, I felt like I climbed a mountain my whole life to get to my chemistry credentials and job and all that. I climbed this mountain, but I was just looking down the whole time. And I feel like I got to the top of that mountain and I was lonely and light. It didn't deliver all the happiness it was supposed to deliver. And I thought, are you going to look up or not, Stacy? And looking up was seeing the bigger picture that, you know, of God as creator of all of this, and that there's so much more. And when I finally did ask that biggest why of all, and when I finally did look up, I mean, boom, that's when, you know, the conversion happened. And that's when I got on this trajectory of studying theology and philosophy. I had no idea what the order was even then.
Yeah.
But it's such a beautiful truth to just give into that and say, okay, science can't tell us everything. I get it now.
Yeah. And so but it's a weird habit to me, a habit of mine that says science can tell us everything. Science has all the answers. And then you say, well, you know, something silly, like a very basic question. Like, well, why is there something instead of nothing then? Well, that's not we don't ask that question. Well, okay. If you're willing to not ask questions, then yes, science can answer the full universe of questions. If you're willing to say, I just won't ask certain questions, I'll just stay away from those questions.
You put the blinders on. You're like, I'm just going to look here.
I can answer everything with science. Well, what about this? Well, not that, but that's not a question. So that to me is a kind of circular thinking that is very unattractive in some of the popularizers of science. I don't want to monopolize you, though, Stacy. Tom's in Oklahoma. Thank you again, Ken, for that wonderful call. Tom,
thank you, Ken. In
Oklahoma. Thank you so much for waiting, Tom. Go ahead with your faith and science question for scientist and theologian Dr. Stacy Trisankos.
Well, I'll start off by saying I'm not a scientist.
Me neither.
I agree that science can't explain everything, but there's one thing I was taught and I just wanted to find out, since she enjoys atoms and I'm not a scientist. Something I was taught, I wanted to run it by and see what their answer was to if it was true. And that is that protons naturally resist each other or repel. And that, you know, I remember a Bible study or something, and they said that they would naturally repel, so the scientists can't figure out, what I was told, why atoms stay together when in fact they should be repelling. And they were teaching that that's because God's holding them together. If God just let go, the whole universe would just literally come apart. And so it's just something that was always taught whenever he came on and talked about atoms. First time I listened to the show, I just thought maybe you could answer if that's true.
It
made sense to me if they repel, and I know God may be what holds it together when they can't explain what's holding something together.
Yes. Thank you, Tom. Okay, do you want me to go, Si?
Yes, yes. Yes, I do.
Okay,
well,
okay.
If I go, it's not going to be very good. So, yeah, it better be you that handles this one.
Tom, thank you. Tom, that is such an excellent thing to call in about. And your first-time listener, I really appreciate you calling, and I'm glad you got through. This kind of thing, I hate hearing it because it's unfortunate. I mean, there is a scientific explanation for the strong nuclear force. There are forces. There's the electromagnetic force. There's the strong nuclear force, the weak nuclear force, and then there's gravity. And those forces, we know a lot as scientists about those forces. There are experiments that have determined certain things. So there is a natural explanation for why the protons stick together in the nucleus, a very good one, and it's worked well. And like all theories, it's subject to being amended with more data in the future. But it's a good explanation, and it works. And the fact that we're talking right now is in large part based on those explanations about the atoms, that we're even able to have digital communication. But Side knows this, I've spent a lot of the last 15 years talking about this to Catholics, not to be afraid of science. Like, we don't need to do the God of the gaps argument where when something doesn't seem to make sense, we just say God holds it together. Because that's not really the way that we think about divine action and creation. And it makes us look kind of unknowledgeable about science. I've learned Thomistic philosophy, and there's a beautiful explanation that God has to be holding everything in being every moment. If God, as Frank Sheed said in one of his books, if God forgot about anything for even a moment, we would cease to exist. And so God is present to everything, every atom, every proton, every body, every coffee cup behind Si in the picture there. Like, God is present to everything innermostly all the time. And we participate, the divine goodness. We don't participate in it. We participate it. We share in the divine goodness because we're part of the order of the universe. So it really protects you from ever worrying about science disproving anything about God. It liberates, and I say this to young people a lot, once you understand what we're talking about when we say creation and divine action, it liberates you to roll your sleeves up and get out there and learn whatever you can about science, because God made an intelligible world and he made us to be intelligent so that we can study this world. We're told to go out and study nature and innovate and put our brains to work and make life better for humans. So it's just such a much bigger story than that. So, but I do hear it a lot, and I'm really glad that you brought it up today.
In a certain way, it's worse news than Tom came with. It's not that the protons would all fly apart. It's there wouldn't be no protons if God neglected this, because they don't have being in themselves. They have being as a consequence of the Creator's choice, of the Creator's maintenance of them in being.
Always. And it's not like, and understanding that teaching from Aquinas, it protects us from thinking God just created the universe like he wound up a toy and walked away and said, see y'all later. God is with us in every moment, suffering, joy, happiness, beginning, end of life, all of it.
Dr. Stacy Trusenkos, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Dr. Stacy Trusenkos is our guest. We're talking faith and science. 888-318-7884.
Lots of people have big questions about Catholicism. It needs a big book of answers, and now it's got one. The Big Book of Catholic Answers is filled with helpful replies to more than 250 questions about the faith. Questions about God, salvation history, the Creed, the Bible, the list goes on and on. Order your copy of the Big Book of Catholic Answers today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
We hope that one of the things that we communicate here at Catholic Answers Live is that our Catholic faith allows us to be fully serious about all the problems we encounter in the church and in the world, but it also lets us have light hearts and maybe even mix in a bit of fun, and that is exactly what our good friend Joe Heschmeyer does in his popular podcast, Shameless Popery. You should check it out at shamelessjoe.com. Joe's got a deep grasp of the faith, of morals, the teachings of the church, all that, but he's also got a witty conversational style. He entertains and he informs, but you will leave equipped to better answer the most common challenges, misconceptions, and questions about the Catholic faith. He's got insightful guests, he does on-air debates, and he takes a close look into all the things that you want to know about as a Catholic living today. You'll walk away knowledgeable and filled with joy. Look for Joe on his YouTube channel. Check him out at shamelessjoe.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, become a patron.
What is the Catholic Church? Everyone seems to have an opinion, but the church never quite fits into the boxes people make for it. In The Faith Unboxed, author Andrew Petiprin looks at some of the most common boxes people put the Catholic Church in and explains why they don't fit. In doing so, he brings us closer to what the Church really is, the institution founded by Christ. Order The Faith Unboxed today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. I would like to tell you about a tremendous failure in Dr. Stacy Trusenkos' life. She tried to figure out how photosynthesis works. I don't think they still don't know, right? It's still like that was your project at one time. Your scientific project was, I'll explain how these leaves do this, and leaves are still more complex than people can explain.
Right? Yeah, it was my comeuppance.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hit a sore spot there, Stacy.
No, it was humbling. That's what I realized. Like, I have to be humble. We cannot. So many things in nature. But yes, just look at the leaves out there. What they are doing right now is more sophisticated than our most sophisticated computer center, AI, rocket ship, anything.
Right, right. Every tree that you look at is doing more complex chemistry than anybody who has ever lived, any human being who has ever lived. That amazes me every time I hear you say that. 888-318-7884. Hey, maybe you got an evolution question. Maybe you've got a chemistry question. Maybe a physics, something that you, as a matter of fact, though, I was going to say physics. It does seem to me that physicists, they seem more open to God than a lot of the biologists and whatnot. Like, they kind of look at the big thing and go, wow, why is this all so fine-tuned? Why does this all work like this? But whatever your faith or science question, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. Dan is in Louisville, Kentucky. That's how I'm told you're supposed to say it, Louisville. Did I say it right, Dan?
I think you got it right.
All right. Well, I think you're being generous. You sound like you're being generous, Dan, but thank you.
Well, there's like seven different ways to say it.
Well, as long as I got one of the seven.
You hit one of the seven.
Okay. Yeah. I'm all right then. So, go ahead with your question for Dr. Stacy Trusankos.
Well, I just was wondering. I mean, I love the field and I've dug into it some of my own. And one thing, you know, I don't accept the atomistic kind of bottom up explanations, but I do worry that, you know, we have a faith where, you know, history is unfolding. And it seems to me that, like, Aristotle might provide too much of a, like, a top down or bottom up. Both of them may miss the sort of eschatological component to Judaism, Christianity, et cetera, that there's, like, revelation and there's expectation of a future fulfillment, et cetera. And like the ancient Greeks didn't really have a belief in a beginning point as far as most of them. And Aristotle, I think, would fit into that as well. And so it's like, well, if Christianity has this notion of a creation point, but also that coming kingdom of God, I've found in my own studies that the kind of Greek cosmology to be a little flat when it comes to history and the unfolding of vast epochs of time and things like that. And so I'm wondering if you have any suggestions as to where to look with that. I've kind of looked, I don't know if you're...
She's working on like her sixth graduate degree. She still doesn't know the answer to that, Dan.
No, Dan, it's brilliant. Go ahead, finish, though. Are you done?
Well, you know, there's a Rabbi Artson, there's some people like Hans Jonas in the Jewish community have both done some things with science and faith that I found to be interesting, John Haught in Catholic circles. And so, but they don't use Aristotle as much as they're using some more contemporary philosophers. So I was just wondering if there's a place to look, for a good medium where eschatology and history can also fit in. So it's not just top down or bottom up, but it's movement in a sense.
Yes. You see me just brimming. This is the joy I have finally found, like, in hating philosophy so much that I had to understand it. It's Thomism. Like, I wanted to be a Thomist, but I didn't feel like I understood it enough to be one. And what you're talking about is why Thomism is not Aristotelianism. They are different. People say Aquinas baptized Aristotle, and I guess you could say that because Aquinas was writing in this context of divine revelation. And so he rejected certain things from Aristotle, like the idea that Aristotle had that the world is eternally cycling. Like, we can't accept that in Christianity because of divine revelation, that there is a beginning in time. And the universe is not eternally cycling. There's a beginning in time and there's an end in time. So Aquinas has what you're talking about, and you're absolutely right. If two bottom up, two top down, what's in the middle is Thomism. Because when Aquinas introduced his distinction of essence and existence, instead of just matter and form, he introduced how God acts in the world. and he introduced real causal autonomy of parts, how parts make up wholes. So he was able to explain why there are wholes and what the parts contribute to the whole. But instead of being two bottom up and two top down, his metaphysics is participatory, meaning that we participate. So everything that is created has real causal powers, has matter, has form, because God granted the essence to it, and God grants the act of existence to it as well. So we're participating the divine goodness, like I said before. And there's a whole lot of work going on, even right now in contemporary Thomistic metaphysics, on what it means to participate. But that is the middle ground, I think, that you're looking for. And it has, it talks about the functions of the form, but it's not just strictly top down. It's more participatory. But there's such beauty in what Thomism. My professor said to me, if you're going to be a Thomist, don't be a Thomist just because you think it's cool and you want to be part of that group. You have to be a Thomist because you think he's right. And I become convinced more and more every day that Aquinas is right about his metaphysics and natural philosophy.
What do you think, Dan?
Okay, well, thank you. I mean, that just gives me some things to chew on and look into. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Stacy, is there maybe there's not a book or a particular writer that you would suggest looking into if you wanted to understand this middle ground that the Catholic thought offers?
I'm going to tell you the name of my professor, because that's one reason he is my professor while I'm studying philosophy. He's great. His name is Gavin Kerr, G-A-V-E-N-K-E-R-R. He's at St. Patrick's Pontifical University in Ireland. Carlo Broussard also got his PhD in philosophy there with Gavin. So Gavin Kerr has written some books on this, what I'm talking about.
It can be a beginner question. It can be an advanced question. Dan's, to me, I'm going to throw that in the advanced category. That was pretty deep thinking Dan was doing there. 888-318-7884 is the number. If you have a question about faith and science, you're welcome here. 888-318-7884. Thank you, Dan, for that call. Let's go to Billings, Montana. Tim in Billings, Montana, welcome. You got a faith and science question?
Yes, I'm trying to understand how infinity goes with eternity.
Oh, let me explain that. I can do that real quick. No, I'm only kidding. I can't explain that. Sorry, Tim. I'm not the guy for that. Explain how infinity. Did you say goes with eternity? Tim?
Goes with or doesn't go with.
Yeah, okay. Infinity and eternity.
Well, good question. Well, infinity usually refers to, I'm going to give you my answer. It refers to quantities, like numbers. Like when you're learning in school about lines and points, a line can go to infinity. We talk about infinity in terms of counting. You can always count one number higher. So it talks about numbers. Eternity is more holistic. Eternity is more like the whole, the perfect, simultaneous possession of life. It's a mode of duration. It's not just numbers. Does that make sense? That's a good question.
Yes.
It did make sense, Tim?
Yeah, it does make sense, but it still doesn't make sense.
That's how I feel about all philosophy.
Welcome to philosophy. That is what philosophy is.
That's my problem. I know less and less about more and more, but I still know less and less.
Yeah.
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 So I'm very frustrated.
That's why I hate philosophy. And I mean it, and I say that lovingly, but it's,
you don't
it's
really,
difficult.
Though. It's, you know.
I mean, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
And I think. I tell you what, go and ask AI what it says about
Oh my gosh. That's the single biggest cop out we have ever had on Catholic Answers Live. Tim, God bless you, brother. Thanks for the call. If God willing, by the grace of God, we will see Tim in eternity, but that doesn't mean we'll see him in infinity. So that's the difference.
And
we'll see Tim there.
Very good.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Right back with more questions on faith and science. 888-318-7884.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
EWTN, helping people grow in their love and understanding of God.
About 6 years ago, I was suicidal. I was hospitalized twice because I wanted to kill myself really bad. And I just kept listening to EWTN radio. It made me get to a better place, but I'm a lot happier. I have a picture of Mother Angelica in my apartment, and I'm a big promoter of EWTN. It's saved my life. I just thank EWTN for everything you guys do.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Who was the first Catholic in your family? Were they evangelized by a friend, a coworker, a stranger? Did you ever think that you could be that person that God uses to save a soul, and that soul could save their family, their grandchildren, and generations to come? At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we train, equip, and mobilize Catholic disciples to do the urgent work of evangelization. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization, streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back. I have a definition for infinity. The number of people who call in the fourth segment of the show thinking, I got to get on now before the show ends. Okay, now that's fine. Everybody can call now if you want. 888-318-7884. Ed's in Melbourne, Florida, listening on AM 920 Divine Mercy Radio. Glad you're here, Ed. Go ahead with your question.
Good evening, Doctor. I'm wondering if you've ever spoken with or perhaps collaborated with Dr. Edward Fezzer, and specifically perhaps read his books, specifically The Last Superstition, which speaks very much to some of the things I hear you talking about this evening.
Oh, yes. I'm a huge fan of Dr. Fezzer's. I have read, I think I've got a lot of his books back there on my bookshelf and even more on my Kindle. I've read his books, Aristotle's Revenge, a lot of them. And he was one of the people that gave me this idea because I'm aligned with everything he says. But I wanted to bring my chemistry knowledge to the table. So there's the philosophers in his group, there's not that many of them in the world that talk about this. They do allude to the fact that we need to think of atoms as bodies that are matter and form and granted existence by God. And, what I'm trying to do is show philosophy through my knowledge of chemistry why this does make so much sense. So I'm sort of picking up his suggestion and running with it as it relates to chemistry, because I know chemistry and I'm trying to know philosophy so that I can explain what he's talking about. So my work would be specifically in chemistry because I'm very passionate about chemistry. But it builds on what he's talking about. And so, yes, thank you for mentioning him, and I highly recommend reading his books.
Okay, Ed?
Love it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much, Ed. On we go to Denver, Colorado. Nate is listening on the Catholic Answers app. Nate, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your faith and science question for Dr. Stacy Trusankos.
Yeah, hello. Who came up with the... I guess it's referred to as a theory of time being somehow subject to like gravity. Because in my little country boy brain, time is not a physical property. So where does that come from? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, Einstein, with Einstein's theory of general relativity, he came up with this idea of the curvature of space-time that's caused by mass. So he looks at, you know, there's three dimensions in space, but time is a fourth dimension. And that's the gravitational time dilation. And I'm getting out of chemistry into theoretical physics there, so I'm getting out of the field that I know. But Einstein's the one that came up with it. And in terms of how we think about time, it works. So that does sound like a cop-out, too. Not as bad as saying, look it up on AI. this is the thing, and I teach students about this theory. You're right, and you said it too. theories can always be amended. So I try to stress to my students, and I'm really glad that you already said it and picked up on it, a theory is our best explanation at this point in time with the data that we have. Classical physics used to be what everybody thought was true, and then quantum physics changed all that, drastically changed all that. I don't think gravity, the theory of gravity, will ever be changed, but that's because I can't see how it would be. But it's also true that any theory is our human explanation of what we observe in nature with our best scientific methods, and it gets better all the time. But it's still just our human. Like Cy was saying, when I tried to replicate photosynthesis, ain't gonna happen. There's so much we don't know. But our theories are our best explanations, and they can change. But Einstein is the one that you're talking about who came up with the curvature of space-time.
Okay, Nate.
Alrighty. Thank you.
Yeah, he ruined everything, Einstein. Everything made sense until he came along.
I love Einstein.
You would. Richard's in Saratoga Springs, New York. Awful glad you're here, Richard. You got a faith in science question?
It's more of a point than a question.
Okay.
The point is that I believe I heard someone said there's no beginning that is provided, that we have to. But in my reading of the Bible, the very beginning of the Bible, God said, let there be light. And that could have been the beginning of the whole universe that the earth is part of.
So so you're taking that as a proof that there is a beginning to creation.
Yes, and I think physics is still evolving, and it's very possible that creation is happening continuously as more and more universes are created in this process of expansion that's occurring.
I'm not sure if Stacy, I actually am not recalling someone saying there was no beginning, but it might have been in reference to something in particular, like maybe an infinite number of numbers. But as far as the universe goes, as far as creation goes, I should say, you believe it has a beginning, Stacy.
Yes, I was saying that Aristotle thought that, and that was one of the things that Aquinas rejected. He rejected the idea that the universe is eternally cycling.
And I think there is even stronger biblical proof of that, Richard. Two of the books of the Bible begin with the phrase, in the beginning. So if God starts two books of the Bible telling us there's a beginning, then there's definitely a beginning. All right, Richard?
Right.
Yeah, I just wanted to say what he's talking about with the fiat lux, the primordial fiat lux, that actually was said by a pope back in the 1950s, around the time when Georges Lemaître was coming up with the idea of the Big Bang.
Yeah.
Pope Pius XII said in a plenary session to the Pontifical Academy of Sciences, he said the Big Bang was scientific evidence for creation, that science had become witness to a fiat lux. Georges Lemaître sort of pushed back on that and said, no, science doesn't prove those things. It's consistent, though.
Yeah, it's consistent, right.
This idea of a Big Bang is consistent with the idea of a moment of creation.
We have to be so careful about that one, though. I will say, so many physicists will say the Big Bang is not the moment of creation. We don't know, though. We cannot say equal sign.
And they're right.
That's not the moment of creation. But I see what you said. But that's consistent with this. Because before that, you had a lot of scientists, Fred Hoyle, most famously, saying, "No, there's no beginning." He thought that was a religious fantasy until the science actually showed, no, this Judeo-Christian idea is more consistent with how the universe is actually structured. Richard, thank you very much. Yeah. Stephanie's in Rockford, Illinois, listening on Catholic Spirit Radio. Stephanie, welcome. You got a faith in science question?
Yes. Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I am a convert from a Protestant denomination where I was taught, you know, like what Answers in Genesis teaches about creation, that the world was created mature. And so therefore, like, even the premise of radiocarbon dating can't be relied upon for geological analysis and radio, you know, dating and timing of things. Does the Catholic Church have a stance on, you know, new world creation, like young world creationism, or, you know, how do we kind of deal with that? It had come up in a Bible study where we were talking about the Shroud of Turin, and being the PhD chemist in the room, everyone was like, well, can you explain carbon dating and, like, can we rely on it? And I didn't know how to address that or touch that.
Okay.
So.
Yes, you are asking a huge question, and it's the longest chapter in my book, Particles of Faith. I'm recommending it because that's where I wrote it all down. But this is a huge question about creationism. And no, the Catholic Church absolutely does not say we have to accept the creationist explanation of things. Radiometric dating, 6-day creation, no dinosaurs, all of that stuff. The church is very wise here. And like Cy was saying, you have to be careful with the language. The church allows us to conclude whatever we want from the science. But we can't deny that the human is body and rational soul. We can't deny that there is a beginning in time. We can't deny that God created everything. So a materialist interpretation of evolution is also not consistent with divine revelation and reason. It's not consistent with reason either. But so there are Catholics who adhere to the young earth creationism theory. I am not one of those. I actually think it does a lot of harm to the faithful. I think it misrepresents the correct relationship between faith and science. Creationism was born of this fear, and it is a fear. I'm using that word on purpose. This fear that evolution would somehow disprove that God exists, somehow disprove that God created man, disprove that Adam and Eve existed, disprove the fall and original sin, and just demolish our Catholic faith. But that was never true. That was never actually true. And when you understand science the way I was talking about before, science is the study of God's handiwork. Everything is held in existence by God all the time. And as Catholics, we roll up our sleeves and get out there, and good for you, PhD in chemistry. We get out there and we try to understand what God has created. And nothing we ever discover with our human minds will ever be able to disprove the fact that God exists, or the fact that Christ, the second person of the Holy Trinity, became man and told us all these things about our salvation. So creationism was born out of this very big, damaging misunderstanding about what the church even teaches. The church, in her wisdom, still says, if you want to believe that scientific interpretation, go ahead. But you're not a bad Catholic if you don't accept that. It's controversial, but that I firmly stand on the side of nothing to fear in evolution. Let's see what we can learn. God created everything.
How does that sit with you, Stephanie?
That's super comforting, because I, to be honest with you, like, I had started out in biochemistry and had moved away from it because of my fear that I was learning about evolution and it would hurt my faith with God. I'm not going to lie. I love the path I've chosen in materials chemistry, but that's really comforting to know that I can believe the science I read in my biology book.
Yes, right. I have to say, it goes the other way too. Like, Stephanie, you didn't want to study science, but there's many young people who do want to study the science, and they end up losing their faith because someone told them, if you believe that, then you're abandoning the Christian faith. So they end up abandoning the Christian faith. Stacey, you just grabbed a book off the counter. What's up?
So can I do this? Like, Stephanie, if
you
will get my email... Get my email from Cy, and I'll send you a copy of this book, One Sister Science Chemist to Another Girl. I gotcha. If you'll, I'll send you a copy of the book.
Stephanie, if you hang on and give us an email address, what we'll do is we'll send that to Stephanie, and she'll send you a copy of her book, Particles of Faith. A beautiful book. I think that was your second book that you wrote, right? The Father Yaki book came before that. And and it's about the particles of faith. I will say to anybody who's listening, a wonderful book about, if you, especially if you have a science-minded young person, if you have a science-minded kid, a teenager, a young adult, maybe give them a copy of Particles of Faith, because it's a wonderful book for helping to work through all of these things. I gotta let you go, Stacey. I can't believe it. I'm sorry to everybody who's hung on the line. We've got another doctor, two doctors in one day. Dr. Greg Popchak will be with us the next hour, and we're going to talk about healing broken relationships. Stacey, I'm so glad you came back. I know you're a world traveler and a PhD candidate, but thanks for being back with us again. Oh, we got an audio problem. We got an audio. Oh, do I have any audio with you, Stacey?
Yeah, I can hear. Do you hear me?
Yes, I just wanted to say thank you to you. Thank you for a great hour.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, between getting on airplanes, giving talks, studying, she's like a jet-age Catholic. That's what she is. Yeah. All right, we'll be right back with Healing Broken Relationships with our good friend, Dr. Greg Popchak, the very best at what he does right here on Catholic Answers.